committee. We have an action item number one.
Chair Milliken, I'm pleased to present for the committee's consideration approval of provost emeritus status for Dr. David Lee. I will be brief in reading this today, as Provost Lee is not with us, but will be in December when I will read the totality of the action item. David Lee served Western Kentucky with distinction for 48 remarkable years. Graduated from Ohio State, he began teaching with us in 1975 and made his way up the ranks from assistant to full professor in 1985. He's written two books and has been funded by the National Endowment for the Presidential Library Association, Smithsonian. He had a long career of administrative service, including Associate Dean of Potter, College of Arts, Humanities, and Social Science. He also served as the interim head of music, interim dean of Potter College, and most importantly, he served as dean of Potter College of Arts and Letters from 1994 to 2015, 21 years of service. He served the broader institution in a number of ways, including the Jerry Richards Hall construction and thinking about general education back in the late 80s and early aughts. So he also was a provost when I came to WKU and was instrumental in my understanding of academic affairs and navigated in a humane and graceful way the difficulty of spring 2018. And so I'm personally in debt to David Lee and for all of his support for me. He continued to serve us for the past year as a historian. On a temporary retirement or partial retirement, and officially step back from WKU this summer. So we'll have a chance to recognize him fully, but you have my full-throated support of this action item.
Very good. I'll entertain a motion then to approve Provost Emeritus status for Dr. David Lee.
I'd like to make that motion.
I'll second it.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Next is the strategic plan update.
Thank you all. I will try to get this done so no one has to say good afternoon to this body. Appreciate the opportunity to speak to you, and much of what I'll say today has been covered in one way or another by others, so I should be able to move through this fairly rapidly and get everybody out here on time. So these are the four areas. I'm just going to introduce you by name only today to the implementation committee for this year. It changes each year to some degree. Talk about quickly the background of the strategic planning process so you're all up to speed where how we got here in the first place. And then a quick summary of the past 5 years. Provost did an excellent job of covering academic affairs. And then a little bit of where we're headed for the next 5 years. So this is our committee today. The way we tend to arrange ourselves is by the three major structures of the strategic plan, which is this document here that I'm sure you all have copies of and is available online. The website for the strategic plan has the descriptions for each of these individuals and where they come from and how they are associated to the university. Remember that the strategic plan comes from the mission, so it's a mission-driven plan, and this is a mission that this body approved of previously, so we're good to go and continuing to follow this mission for the next 5 years with the strategic plan. Just going back to the origin, in 2017-18, President Capone asked to put together a series of committees to form a strategic plan. He desired a 10-year strategic plan, which is somewhat unusual for universities. Very often, they're 3 to 5 years. We put together a group steering committee, and then six of these other committees had some 75 people from the community and all across the university involved. As you just scan, and this slide back will be available to you to look at and read more closely, so I won't spend a lot of time on each. But if you just look at some of the words in that, you're going to see that these words appear as goals in the strategic plan, And each of these committees wrote at least 10-page white documents on what they desired, and those are still available and still referred to. So we retain the core of what the university was being driven by at that time while modifying it due to the changes in our environment over time. So this is the core of the plan. We have 5 goals within our students area, 4 goals within our hill, and 7 goals within our community and beyond. And you can see some of those same words that you saw with the names of the committee showing up as goals here. I won't spend the time to go through those, but each of those goals has multiple strategies for how to achieve those goals. I'm going to bring that word up again towards the end here in just a few minutes. So in August of 3rd of 2018, we went from over a 10-month period from starting this process to this body approving of this process, and it was also part of the board retreat in that year, and that really kicked off implementing the strategic plan, which is where the implementation committee grew out of, is the need to continue to follow that. So what's the charge of the implementation committee? That is to keep annual reviews and tabs on how we're doing on the strategic plan. And then because we knew a 10-year plan was somewhat unusual, we did a pretty in-depth review last year as the 5-year mark, so we're halfway through now. And we continue to look at how, again, the global changes such as the COVID epidemic allowed us to make changes in the direction, typically more in the strategies of trying to achieve goals than the goals themselves. And as an example, we could not be doing what we're doing today without COVID, if you will, having a Zoom meeting with half the board present. So there were some good things that came out of COVID, although I won't say that to Dr. Bale at the moment because he's probably not feeling that way.
Got that right.
This, to me, is just a little more interesting than organizational charts, but this is kind of how we conceive of the Strategic Plan Implementation Committee. We have those 4 abbreviations that the provost mentioned before, SOF, ESEAA, and BOR, which is you folks, Board of Regents. So there's sort of this structure, and those are the names of the committee members that are our students, our Hill, and our community and beyond. And then these are all the other entities in the university that are associated, the 5 colleges, the various support units, athletics, communications, and marketing that are always a great partner for our team because they keep us informed of what's going on when our committee members aren't part of one of the entities that are moving forward, philanthropy and alumni engagement, and then faculty senate, staff senate, and the SGA. So we have everybody involved either directly on our committee or we have a contact point to that entity. Please read this carefully. These are the major metrics that we follow. We post these every year. Typically, we post these in November. I put the little note on there because CPE has changed some of the dates that they normally sort of authorize the data that we give them, and that's true for the throughout the state. So it's going to push back this update a little bit. Usually, we try to post something the first week of November. It may be a little bit later in the month. You can see that this update is from April because we also get some updates on some of these major metrics during the spring semester, but these are things that fall from the state performance metrics, some of our own self-driven ones, the NCAA for athletics, various things that we either want to adhere to because it makes us do better as an institution, but also some of the things we have to adhere to. This was the process that we implemented over the first 5 years, so each of these red boxes encapsulate some of the goals that we started with, and you can read those below. Again, you'll have access to this, but somewhat a progression from students to Hill to community, but a mix throughout. And at this point, over the first 5 years, we have taken action on all of our strategic plan goals to varying levels of emphasis at this point. But they all are moving forward. As with anything, you can't move every goal and wouldn't want to all at the same time because some follow naturally from others. Just a few highlights, and you've heard a lot about these, especially from the provost this morning, but pretty regularly from the president and others. These are the five goals of our students, and we've done things with the scholarship model. Opportunity Fund has really blew through its first 50 million goal pretty quickly and is up to 100 million now. Done a lot with the students the provost talked about today, completion and success as well. DEI, we started this plan where we had a five-year DEI in place, and now that is going through renewal and updating. And preparation for the global stage, and I won't, the provost talked about LLC, so that I just put a little highlight in there, that component, but he already covered that quite well. Progress with our Hill, these are the four goals again on the left, just some examples, market analysis and compensation, Monday Hall that you were a part of last year, the budget model that's been talked about today, and those are just some of the indicators that you've seen already. Cultural innovation, provost talked about CITL, Center for Teacher and Learning, and how that's expanded and how they're doing annual program review now. The emphasis for that's going to continue to be an emphasis on research and creative activity. So just some good progress in all these areas. And then with our community and beyond, I'm not going to read through all this list, but one of the ones that I'm going to point out is right at the bottom, philanthropy modernization, and that's one in which COVID really changed the way they had to do business. They've done a remarkable job in modernizing how they approach fundraising for the institution, and it's really been a good model that's been able to be used by a lot of other components of the institution of what can we do, and Image West just talked about it. You know, that industry has become a very Zoom-oriented industry. And so that ability to shift, obviously when we created the strategic plan, nobody had that in their head, that we were going to do anything in that way. So that's a change in strategy, not a change in goal. And just, our group did this last year, and you don't have to worry about reading all this. What I want you to see is that in the middle, either in the red box or the green circle, is an action that a unit, the first one on the left was the Ag Department, on the right was Global Learning, that they started with the idea of achieving one of their goals. And what we were able to do is say, well, how does that strategy that you're following out connect? And what you can see by these links is that an action by unit uses its funds better, is more efficient, if it has ramifications across our students, our Hill, and our community and beyond. And so we regularly try to make sure that when people are putting investment in something, that it's not a one-off, it's not that one-time money, it's recurring. And it's gonna have recurring returns for the university because it stretches across goals and opportunities for students, faculty, staff, and our community members. So the next 5 years, as the provost mentioned, we get to do SACS reaccreditation. That's actually helping us because what all the units at the university have to do is tell us how they're achieving their goals and then link that to the strategic plan. So we have data at that level. We're also looking at some of these things that have been talked about. Hitting that 60-80, we're getting very close. Continue to prepare for the global stage, the innovation, research and creativity, continue to be a lighthouse. Would be remiss if I didn't mention the innovation campus and the great action that's happened there and the ramifications that has for the university and the community. And then again, continuing to invest in the future and hitting that 100 million mark, but also doing so much more than that. So with that, some of the beautification at the top of the hill, happy to take any questions, always here to serve you. Dr. Bale served on our committee last year. It was great to have his perspective in the fifth year. Always willing to talk to any of the board members about anything to do with strategic planning and implementation, and thank you for your time.
And any questions?
If you ever visit my office, on my coffee table is the strategic plan, because this is our North Star. And we have outcome data, we track metrics, and there are some things that I said we were going to do that 6 years ago folks looked at me like I was crazy. One of which was living large communities in a first-year village, and the other one was getting to 80% retention, 60% graduation rate, and raising all that money for the Opportunity Fund. We've accomplished so much and more, and it's the entire community that's bought into the strategic plan. And unlike many places, this institution needed a plan that was built from the bottom up. It gets shaped when it comes to the executive committee and the president, but the reality is all of this was stuff that the community talked about and aspired to do. And because of that, I think you've gotten better buy-in around the plan. And the other thing, and a 10-year plan is odd in higher education, but as I talked, and it was me, I talked to everybody who led this. Bruce and I had lots of conversations. If you're going to do hard things, don't let the time be a restraint on that. And so getting to 80% retention, you're not going to do that in 3 to 5 years. It's just too hard. So why not say we're going to do hard things and then give ourselves the time to do it, which is what we've done, and create a tremendous success. So I'm really proud of where we are. I can't believe it's been 5 years. It feels like about 20. And I guess we have about 20 to go.
Real quick,
I'm up to compliment Bruce. He's been involved in this from day one, and it's also worth pointing out that this was very comprehensive. The original strategic planning task force, how many people were involved in it and actually on committees, Bruce? It was five or so. Yeah, and really tried to be inclusive, was inclusive, and the process beats on, and as the president said, it's very aspirational in nature, and it's fun to see us moving toward some of those original goals and changing and putting in new ones. So, but Bruce does a great job with everybody.
Here. Real quick, I just want to say, talk a lot, this isn't really relevant to any of that. The attentiveness and responsiveness of Bruce and the staff related to some of the questions that we've had as we work toward reaccreditation, I think it's commendable because some of it, a lot of it was after hours, and I appreciate that as someone new to a particular process or two that you were going through. I can't say enough about that. In a day and age where sometimes email responses can be several days, I was looking at sometimes minutes. And I think that's worthy of mentioning here.
Any other questions or comments? Bruce, thank you so much for
thank you.
Presentation. Certainly appreciate your hard work and appreciate the presentation.
Thanks very much. Have a good day.
The next information item is the Hilltopper Fieldhouse rendering.
So I will kick this off, and then Todd, do you want to go second, or just hand it up to the... So we've talked about this project for, well, since before I even arrived, that there was the conversation around an indoor practice facility, which this is not. This is much larger than that. And so I was really pleased that we managed to work toward reducing our debt and creating space for us to be able to do a project that brings together five of our most visible and most competitive organizations on this campus. When you think of a field house, you would typically think about athletics. And that's part of this, and you're going to see pretty pictures around that. But we have a world-class forensics team, arguably the best forensics speech and debate team in the nation, and certainly the winningest speech and debate team in the nation in the past 15 years. And they needed an appropriate home for them to recruit the talent to WKU that we expect to continue that tradition. They compete against the finest universities in the country, including Harvard and every place else that you would imagine that does speech and debate. They are included in this project. Esports, which is another one of our highly visible competitive spaces, which is only growing in visibility and national attention, included in this project. And we've been working hard to grow the size and scope of our marching band. Confirmed for me just last week, we continue to be the largest marching band in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, moving toward 300 members of that marching organization, and the best band in the Commonwealth. I'm really proud of that. All of them enhancing the visibility of the institution. Our marching band used to practice, or continues to practice, on South Lawn, where our tailgating space is. And so for us to build what is truly a world-class marching program, we need them to have a permanent space for them to practice. They will now have that in the field house. And then finally, it is a place for the football team to practice, not to minimize that, but it's important for them. And then because it sits on the footprint of some of our older baseball facilities, we had to reimagine those as well, particularly with a new coach and the trajectory of that program. So it is an exciting day to be able to share with you, and we have our architect partners here, the renderings of the field house as we move toward a groundbreaking on the 10th of November. Thank you.
Thanks. She just showed slides.
What are you saying?
I don't have to do much of an introduction, but good morning and early afternoon. I'd like to introduce from HKS Architects, Fred Ortiz. He is a global practice director. He leads their collegiate program, and they have been instrumental in what we're going to see here today. And Tim Doling is also here, is our partner from K. Norman Berry, who just was a design manager, project manager, and we just completed the soccer softball facility under their leadership. Together they partner. They're working with us great with athletics, and with that, Brett.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Very excited to be here today representing the HKS KNBA team. And I will say that as a former athlete, as a parent with kids who've been playing Division I athletics, and now as an architect doing projects like this, I get really excited because I know that the significance of what Dr. Caboni is saying here about how these students, you know, and what they move through on a daily routine and how can we make them better, it excites the heck out of me. So this is why I do what I do. So when we do this, is that we have to be very intentional. We have to equip the students to excel in the classroom and in their competition space. So encouragement, providing the tools for innovation, learning, collaboration, and success. So in this case, we're going to create a new home for a lot of these individuals, which is very exciting. And this environment of learning and collaboration will be incredible. So along with that, we celebrate great success of the programs that will continue to grow and succeed. So when we first started the project, we actually dove into the master plan. We wanted to immerse ourselves and understand it, get our heads around it, and we walked away with this thing about extending the legacy and the energy of Western Kentucky community from the top of the hill, down the hill, along the Avenue of Champions. And so with that, there were some really awesome guiding principles that are noted in there, and that drove our process. So things like reimagining thresholds, accelerate community and building on campus, focus on student access and showcase the student journeys, the influence of culture for holistic thinking, and then unite the teams around common purpose. So with that, you know, the just for orientation, as Dr. Caboni was mentioning, the area where it's currently the outdoor practice and the baseball facilities. So north on the top of the page is the stadium, the football stadium. Ballpark is on the bottom edge. Of course, Avenue of Champions on the right. The new field house, 120,000 square feet, will be the home for Western Kentucky Forensics and eSports. And along with that is, of course, the indoor field house, which will provide training for the pride of the Hilltoppers, the Big Red Marching Band, and Hilltopper Athletics, potential for intramurals, and, of course, the ability to flex and support the greater Western Kentucky University community. The site is very has a lot of constraints, so we were forced to kind of start to stack and overlap things. But what was important is that we gave each entity their autonomy, right? They needed to have their own brand identity. And so that was kind of a challenge, and also creating a front door. So what we see is that this sort of L-shaped, it's kind of a two-story portion of the project actually begins to house those components. And as we look at sort of a slightly aerial view, you know, hovering over Avenue of Champions, Jonesville Plaza, this notion of extending that architecture that's already embodied up here at top of the hill down Avenue of Champions, it's almost like a pearl necklace. And you got all these jewels that are sort of framing up, and also those are going to really begin to take the experience of the maybe it's the first time impression when someone visits campus. It's going to take it to another level. But you also will be able to change tradition. I think the topper walk on game day, you know, to have the band, you know, move through this space and the whole street lined with fans, and as they take a right in between the field house and the stadium as they make their way to the locker, could be a fantastic experience. So as we create our new front door, we also have assigned space for practice for the forensics team. We're going to have a large classroom which can be subdivided and give them a couple of spaces there. You know, and then also when they can just be normal students, you know, so a little pocket lounge where they can literally just relax in between practice and maybe even competition. The band will have access to storage, as you see on the far left, you know, from within the field house and from the exterior along Avenue of Champions. And then one of the nice things as you get into the lobby, well, you're going to be presented with something that's very open air because it's going to borrow a lot of natural light with all the glazing we have on the exterior. But it'll be easy wayfinding. You'll be able to go upstairs. There's going to be opportunities for naming and signage and, of course, technology that could really infuse this space as one moves into the forensic zone to the left. And then you get a little sneak peek of what might be the entrance to the field house. On the upper level, it's all about esports. And likewise, there's going to be practice space, you know, rooms where they can actually do their thing. And then, of course, the shared conference rooms or the competition space can also be something that could be more than one function. So with that, when we get up the staircase and onto the second level, immediately you're going to be introduced to that brand, that culture of esports. And then even down to the way we treat lighting and sculpture that kind of mimics the essence of the red towel. But as you move into that space, full energy, dynamic, and then, of course, you can easily flip simply by dropping a curtain, and all of a sudden you've got forensics training or competition that's happening in there, and even down lighting on the flooring, and so completely change the theme in that space. And then as you move down the hallway, obviously the practice rooms, you know, for each of the teams, and a little breakout space where they can just be casual and enjoy conversation. We're also going to celebrate all the accolades. I mean, these guys win championships, right? So we have to be able to find ways to celebrate that. And actually, can you imagine as a prospective student walking through this facility? It would be really incredible. And then, you know, just making our way back down as we move into the indoor. Here you can see where the band can just really take this over. It's a large volume, over almost 90,000 square feet. We'll have clerestory lighting, so we'll have some nice ambient feeling in there. Little catwalk for viewing for coaches and staff and training and things like that. And of course, when you open the doors to the band, you can also open it to the community and intramurals and things of that nature. So it becomes a beautiful flex space, and of course, it's going to support the football team. Hopefully win a conference championship or something. And then as we make our way back out and keep moving farther down the hill, here we are at what is currently the existing baseball entrance out at left field corner. But you can kind of see how the boulevard or the Avenue of Champions, you know, the essence of what is happening up high on the hill begins to make its way down the street. The architecture begins to scale down and be able to transition around the corner. You start to see the batting tunnels and things of that nature and the indoor facility hovering over top. And as we make our way in there, that plan, from left to right, you know, it's obviously support, like laundry and equipment, but the heart of the plan, it could be, is where the players and staff are going to be, where the locker room and their wet areas, there's going to be a nice lobby, a weight room that has flexibility that extends into the batting tunnels and that lobby space also connects into the indoor. So there's going to be a lot of really great circulation opportunities. And then, of course, when one gets up to the upper level, it's mostly coaches and staff, but there will be a large team meeting space, which also provide multi-purpose functions there. And then the really nice thing is that the bottom edge of that, where the coaches are, it's prime real estate because the game is just down below. So obviously the team meeting space and that terrace could also be utilized as VIP experience on game day. So here's just a quick shot of the lobby. You can see kind of how they might be able to move up and get into the upper level or move right into the their haven, which is a really dramatic space. I mean, we're, you know, the splash of branding in the ceiling, really awesome lockers, and this is their, this is a place for them. You know, it's private, it's for them to enjoy. It also not only will be their locker room, but also their lounge space, which will be really exciting. And then, of course, as we hover up above left field, left center field, I mean, you kind of get the essence of how the architecture and the forms are wrapping the corner, and the architecture and the essence of what happens up above, very similar to what's happening at the College of Business. That aesthetic is making its way down the hill, and it's really going to make an impact on the impression of visitors to campus. So, moving to the press box. So here, there's area directly above the ceiling in that club space, which is interesting to us. So we did all the math, studied the cross-section, and we literally began to take that real estate that fronts the field and lined it with all that you need to operate a game. So it's everything from broadcast, home and away spaces, writing press, and suites that are going to line that whole edge. And then, so you can see here where what is currently metal panel now is now going to be fully glazed. And it's going to be providing incredible views and connection to the experience that's happening down in the field. So here's a shot of the club. And so because of the renovation, the ceilings and floorings and things like that are going to be upgraded to give it a much lighter and open feeling and connectivity to the game. And then when you're up in the suite level at the end, you can actually see how these spaces are going to, they're actually going to be tiered. So it'll be able to have people that are going to be at the island that can come down and sit to enjoy the game and move freely throughout the space. So with that, I think that concludes the show, right? Is that good? I think I did it within 10 minutes, which is my allotted time.
Questions or comments?
I will say, as we reflect on what we've just done to get to this point, let's face it, it's going to make an impact. And to me, in our group, it's about a legacy. It's about making an incredible statement, and we're really proud to have created this partnership with you and collaborating, creating this vision. But I believe that it is going to influence the student. It's going to enhance retention, amplify the student success. It will transform the quality of the WKU community on many levels. And, of course, it's going to strengthen the Avenue of Champions as a campus asset.
So I'm pleased.
I love the fact that it serves so many different student groups. And you just cannot emphasize enough our forensics program. Probably the greatest forensic program in the history of the country. I mean, they certainly deserve their own space, as do the other groups. So that's very appealing.
Certainly a nice presentation. We appreciate those renderings.
Thank you.
Some good looking space there.
Our partners have worked hard to match what is sometimes a difficult facility to the Collegiate Georgian style on our campus. You go on some campuses and it's just this big ugly barn plopped down next to beautiful facilities, and we're not going to do that. And they worked really hard with lots of feedback, including from me, to get us to this place. And I'm really happy with the work that they've done to kind of match our vision for the entirety of the campus with this facility that serves so many young people. And competitively, not for forensics and esports, these are some of the finest in the nation for those two groups. For athletics, our facilities are on par with any group of five program in the nation with this addition, and will be competitive with many other places as well, P5 included.
What's the anticipated completion date?
So, Brian, is the anticipated completion date, we will start on the press box the day after football ends, or somewhere in there.
And then the same thing for Fieldhouse. Fieldhouse will take 18 months to 2 years probably, so we're looking at fall 25, the same time frame as the College of Business Building. The press box, sometime next fall, hopefully, I'm pushing. The club has to be reopened before the season begins next August. That's prime revenue for us. So 25 will be a fun year to celebrate.
A lot of building going on with the business school and this and
that. There's one constant on a university campus.
Do hard things. I heard that.
Do hard things.
You know, the questions or comments. Thank you so much for the presentation.
Thank you.
We certainly appreciate it. Great work.
All right. We got some more. Good.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not done. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Beautiful. I believe that concludes the business of the executive committee. I would at this time entertain a motion pursuant to the provision of KRS 61.810.61 for the discussion of proposed implementing litigation concerning the environment.
Do I have such a motion?
Chairman, I would like to move that the board go into closed session as provided in KRS 61.810.1 for the following discussion. Discussion proposed or pending litigation against the law on behalf of the
very good. So we will declare that we're going into executive session.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to step out and do one media hit for a second.
Sure.
Recorder.
Ready? The board has now returned to open session. The discussion and deliberation during the closed session were restricted to those stated in the motion. No formal action was taken by the board in closed session. Do we have anything else that needs to come before our committee meeting today?
Liberty game next Tuesday. Jordan Davis free concert at 5 o'clock. Be there.
Or
be square.
Be there or be square. Well, thank you, everybody. I appreciate everybody being in attendance and all of your input. This has been a good meeting, and we've gotten a lot accomplished, and I appreciate everybody's cooperation. So with that, we stand adjourned.